appreciate you, everyone being here. We always do. And as we go through our agenda this evening, if you would like to say anything, you certainly may do that. And we always want to listen to our citizens, certainly, and get their thoughts on whatever it may be on our agenda. We're especially glad tonight to have two presentations. We're always happy when we can do that and to recognize people that have participated in these particular presentations as doing outstanding work, whatever it may be. And that makes us all better. That makes our city better. And we just appreciate those who perform well and do their best. That's all we could ever ask, do our best. As we begin our meeting this evening, if you would please stand with us for a prayer and a pledge. Almighty God, we thank you so much that we can come together again as a community of citizens and public officials and staff. We thank you for the partnerships that we have in our community to help us do the best we can and improve the quality of life for all of our citizens. We thank you for those that are here this evening being represented and thankful for their participation. In the team, in the series, baseball series, that they came in second and the first in the state, and we certainly appreciate what they've done, the coaches, and what they've done for themselves as well, and the good sportsmanship. We thank you, Lord, for the guidance that you give us. We pray this evening for wisdom and the guidance as we go through our agenda, and at all times we want to try to do our best for our citizens and improve our community in every which way we can. And that's what our goal and mission is. And we thank you, Lord, for your help and your guidance to us. We give you the honor and the glory for all the good that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Are there any additions or deletions to our agenda this evening?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I'd like to. I have three items that are not long, just one is a question and a couple of comments. One refers to the report on the GASB 45 financing that is just quite confusing. The second is the issue with Mr. Watkins that I spoke with this week with you and Councilman Wells. And then the third is the arts report that I picked up off the internet after a comment in the Aiken Standard. So.
Okay, the arts report.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. We'll just add those to the under the petitions and requests.
Thank you.
And yes, but just a second. Okay, anything else? If not, do we have a show of hands, please, approving the agenda as it is, has been amended? Okay, passes unanimously. Next item is the minutes, consideration of the minutes of the regular meeting of August 10th, 2009. Any discussion necessary?
I move adoption of the minutes.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, show of hands, please, all in favor? Passes unanimously. Item two of the presentations. Number one, first, it's a recognition of the Cal Ripken 11-year-old state champs. And Mr. Jeff Metz from the city would do the introductions.
Mayor, Council, this evening we'd like to recognize our 11-year-old all-star team that competed this past summer. They went to North Augusta to start the state tournament and went undefeated there. And then they competed in the Southeast Regional held here in Aiken and ended up finishing second in that tournament. They defeated teams in that tournament from Florence, Alabama, Ocala, Florida, Matthews, North Carolina. They represented Aiken well. They competed hard. They went about as far as we've ever had a team go in regional play. And tonight we have some certificates. We'd like to call this team up and recognize them individually. So if you guys will come on up and stand, everyone.
And Jeff, if you could have them, I'm sure the council members would like to say thank you also.
We'll do that. Guys, if you'll line up facing the crowd there. Coaches, if you'll come on up as well. First tonight, we have Matthew Abney. Keaton Allison.
No,
Jimmy Carver.
That's okay.
Mason Collins. Tyler Fairchild. Owen Griffith. Eric Hogue. Cameron Mears. Trey Paluski. Dalton Poole. Joey Smithers. Will Varnador. Coached by Richard Abney, Chris Varnador, Steve Smithers. Guys, come on, line up, get your pictures. Line back up.
Thank you very much.
We'd also like to present Richard Abney with the team trophy that these guys won. We'd also like to recognize Richard. He's had over 30 years coaching in our youth programs, and that's very special.
We'd like to also recognize the parents, grandparents, friends who help support these young fellows. Would you stand up, please? We thank you for the role models that you are, and we know that you're behind them, and that's why these young fellows are who they are today and doing as well as they are. And just keep up the good work, good citizenship, and all those things. So thank you so much. And I guess now you go to the next group, right? The 12s? Okay. All right. Well, you'll be back here then maybe next year, probably. Yeah. And Richard, thank you for all those years that you've coached, and the other coaches as well. But that's certainly a wonderful record there, and a long time. Thank you, sir. Okay, our next recognition is the Municipal Cup Award. This is the Municipal Association of South Carolina. We've been very fortunate over the years to have innovative projects and things that we've won quite a few of these. And this just last month, we earned another one. Public safety did, that is. So Bill Huggins is here, I think, to make a presentation. Bill was with us, by the way, as our assistant city manager for a while, and he took a job with the Municipal Association. And now he's doing good work around the state, helping other cities and towns do their best. So we appreciate the job that Bill and his other, three cohorts do, colleagues, right, do around our state.
Right.
Bill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, and in traveling around now, I even see even to a greater extent than before just how outstanding Aiken is in so many respects, and how it really is at the top of the food chain in terms of the professionalism and the forward-thinking methods and approaches that the city uses and city council have instituted over the years here. So it's really been eye-opening working around the state. As far as this is concerned, you guys don't have enough trophies, and you just need to get one more, I guess, occasionally, since you don't get one, but one every year from this group and a bunch more. But I am pleased to recognize the city for winning the Municipal Achievement Award for creation of the city's Police Athletic League chapter. As you mentioned, Mr. Mayor, we presented this award in last month in the annual conference of the Municipal Association. But we thought this would be an opportunity to present here so that we could have others in the area share the accomplishment, citizens, rest of council, and again, thank you very much for your participation as usual. This is in the category of public safety for working with the community to provide affordable recreation opportunities for young people. Under the umbrella of Police Athletic League, disadvantaged youth can participate in a variety of teams, as you know, and it is quite a broad variety of teams. It's an outstanding approach. The participants, of course, learn several important life lessons. Among those, it's a great recreational outlet, of course, but also the league is very heavily involved in the issue of childhood obesity in the state. As always, this is a great example of innovation and creativity that Aiken's been known for over the years, and that's what this is all about, the Achievement Awards. One purpose, of course, is to get the word out around the state to other municipalities about some of the innovative programs that are going on so that we can share these ideas with these other communities. Mayor Kavanaugh, of course, accepted in the Municipal Association annual meeting, but we're going to do it again. So on behalf of the Municipal Association, Mr. Mayor, Council, congratulations again for winning the 2009 Municipal Achievement Award. And here's your trophy again.
Thank you, Bill. I would like for Pete Fromer and anyone else associated with public safety, Richard,
Richard,
come up, please.
Richard's still here, so that's...
Richard's still here.
Yes.
You're the guys that have done this. You've worked. You've done this. You thought of the ideas. You came up with it, and you've implemented it. So thank you so much for that.
You want to do this out here or just right here?
Are you going to take a picture?
I like it. I get it, sir.
While Richard Abney is sitting down and Chief is sitting down, I'd just like to mention that this all came out of the Neighborhood Diamonds program that started off with baseball about 4 or 5 years ago. We've now expanded to include basketball and track, cheerleading, and football. So it's just not just the one sport, but it's many sports. And Richard, thanks for getting this started a number of years ago with the Neighborhood Diamonds.
Okay, under old business, item number one, the only one, is appointment to the Aiken Housing Authority. Mr. LeDuc, please.
This came up a number of months ago. Councilmember Dewar had asked about the fact that he did not have an appointment, nor did Councilmember Wells to the Housing Authority. We researched this and found out that one of the appointments, which is the resident appointment, typically is made by the mayor, and if we did that, they could also add another board member, so it would give each one of our council members a appointment to this board. So by doing this tonight, we have one vacancy that needs to be filled, and the other council member would have to decide which one of you would be taking the mayor's former appointment, which is Sarah Wood. Her term does not expire for a few more years, so we need to decide tonight who will make that choice and then who would again take on the role of Sarah Wood. Her appointment ends in 2013, so once we could do that, then the other council member could make an appointment and bring it to council, hopefully at the next meeting or the meeting thereafter.
Okay. Mr. LaDuke, I would be more than happy to take Sarah Wood as my appointee.
That's fine. I'll defer to the senior councilman.
Senior?
Yeah, I'm junior for a few more weeks.
If that's the case, then Councilmember Dwyer would need to come up with an appointment to that board next month or the following month. They do meet monthly.
Okay. Very good.
Okay. Thank you for doing that, Roger.
All right. Do we need... Under new business, first item is first reading of an ordinance to annex property at 131 Vivian Drive. Mr. LaDuke, please.
Yes, sir. Need my paperwork signed here.
Yeah.
Let me read this ordinance by its title. It's an ordinance to annex the corporate limit of the city of Aiken, certain property owned by Stanley and Barbara Smith and located at 131 Vivian Drive, to zone the same residential single-family RS-15. This property... There was some confusion on the county's part where they combined two pieces of property together, so that their combined piece of property now is one, but part of it's in the city, part of it's in the county. To correct this, the Smiths are willing to annex the 0.25 acre portion of that tract. The Planning Commission felt that was a more than fair on their part, and they unanimously approved the annexation of the 0.52 acres, combining with the 0.59 acres to give us a lot size of 0.84 acres under the RS-15. So for your consideration tonight, this is approval of the annexation of 0.25 acres at 131 Vivian Drive to be zoned RS-15.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second?
Mr. Mayor, I move that we approve first reading of an ordinance to annex property 131 Vivian Drive.
I'll second that, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Okay. Passes unanimously. Item 2 is the first reading of an ordinance to annex property at 503 Douglas Drive.
Yes, sir. And again, I'll read this by the title. It's an ordinance to annex the corporate limits of the city of Aiken, certain property owned by Stephen Rayner and located at 503 Douglas Drive, and to zone the same residential single-family RS-10. They would like to come in the city and receive our services. It is compatible with the other properties that are surrounding them. The Planning Commission did unanimously approve their annexation. And so for your consideration tonight, this is first reading of an ordinance to annex property at 503 Douglas Drive under the RS-10 zone.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and second?
So moved, Mr. Mayor. This is to be approved on first reading.
Second.
We have a second. Any discussion? If not, show hands, please. All in favor? Okay, passes unanimously. Item 3, first reading of an ordinance to annex property at 111 Collier Street. Mr. LaDuke, please.
Yes, sir. Again, I'll read it by title. It's an ordinance to annex the corporate limits of the city of Aiken, certain property owned by Nell Mace and located at 111 Collier Street, and to zone the same residential single-family RS-10. As we look at this piece of property, it reminds me of the fact that around 12 years ago, City Council made a decision that instead of trying to take the route of 75% agreeing to a petition and then forcing in two or three other people, that you're going to come up with a method where you would try to provide the best services possible, and because of that, people will want to come to the city. When that choice was made, we ran sewer in the Virginia Acres area just east of where our tennis courts are currently, and since that time, about 70% of the properties in that area have annexed, and slowly but surely, as the septic tanks are failing in that area, we'll eventually have 100% of the properties inside the city voluntarily wanting to be part of the city of Aiken. So I really congratulate you for looking at that foresightedness as far as trying to go ahead and bring people in by providing great services. The Planning Commission did unanimously approve this annexation at their August 11th meeting. They would like sewer. And so for you, this is a first reading of an ordinance to annex property at 111 Collier Street under the RS-10 zone.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and second?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Okay, pass this unanimously. Item 4, first reading of an ordinance to rezone property at 422 South Boundary from RS-15 to RS-S.
Yes, I'll read this again by the title. It's an ordinance to rezone certain property located at 422 South Boundary Avenue Southwest from residential single-family RS-15 to residential single-family stables. This property is along South Boundary. It is 2.38 acres. They would like to have horses by right on the property. And so by rezoning this, you'll continue to allow a single family to have a dwelling unit on the property, but also allow horses within that area. The area is right along Grace Avenue on the south side, and there are a number of other properties that have horses within that community. The zoning is compatible with the area. The owner is in the process of putting the property under a conservation easement, and by rezoning this property, the 3-acre minimum lot size in RSS would be prohibit any further subdivision and thereby preventing any increase in density. So by doing this, currently if they wanted to go ahead and subdivide this into several RS-15 lots, they could do so by right. They wouldn't have to come to City Council, and they could probably have about 6 lots on that property. So by you moving forward with this, it will always remain a 2.3-acre parcel and cannot be subdivided in the future. So for your consideration tonight, this is first reading of an ordinance to rezone property at 422 South Boundary Avenue from RS-15 to RSS.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second?
Mr. Mayor, I'd move we approve first reading of an ordinance to rezone property at 422 South Boundary from RS-15 to RSS.
Second.
Okay, we've got 2 seconds. Who was first? Okay, any discussion? If not, show of hands, please, all in favor. Pass this unanimously. Okay. Item 5, deed of dedication for South Meadows Phase 6. Mr. Leduc, please.
Yes, sir. This is a resolution for South Meadows Phase 6 that would allow us to accept the water and the sewer within this area. Now, the area is outside the city, so we would not be accepting roads. The water and sewer lines were installed about 7 years ago. We talked to the owners of the property recently that they had not deeded the utilities to us, and because of that oversight, they are more than happy to bring that to us today. We have recently reviewed it and determined there were no deficiencies in the water and sewer system, and therefore we are recommending the donation of these lines to the city. So for your consideration tonight, this is approval of the attached resolution authorizing the acceptance of the deed of dedication from Litchfield Company Incorporated for water and sewer lines in Phase 6 of South Meadows Subdivision.
Okay, thank you. Do we have a motion and second?
Move for approval of the deed of that we accept the deed of dedication for South Meadows Phase 4.
Okay. I'll second it. Any discussion?
Just a correction, Phase 6, right?
I'm sorry, Phase 6.
Phase 6, yeah. Okay. Thank you. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please, all in favor. Passes unanimously. Item 6 is the first reading of an ordinance to amend the zoning ordinance regarding bed and breakfast and meeting facilities. Mr. Leduc, please.
Yes, sir. This is an ordinance amending the zoning ordinance for the bed and breakfast. And as the title states, I won't read the entire ordinance, but if council recalls, Stephen Mueller came to us back in, I want to say it was springtime, asking that we consider going to the Planning Commission and making some adjustments to the regulations concerning bed and breakfast meeting facilities. He had three primary goals in mind. One was to be able to open up the area earlier in the morning so that breakfasts could be served. Two was to allow the concerts instead of being twice a month on Friday nights to allow it to be every other Friday night so that in the months that have five Fridays you could possibly have three different events. And also to allow the amplified music to play until 10:30 p.m. instead of what is currently at 10 o'clock. After he had submitted that, he also then came back and asked that the New Year's Eve events not just be a one-time only, which is how it was approved by the BZA, but that it would be allowed to go till 12:30 a.m. Every New Year's Eve from this point forward. There was a lot of discussion at the Planning Commission meeting. One of the things, when you look at this, when you look at approving or disapproving, this would be for any other bed and breakfast that would meet the criteria of a meeting facility. Now, what is a bed and breakfast meeting facility consist of? It'd be any structure consisting of 4 to 10 bedrooms with registered overnight guests, meeting rooms, and they would have to be allowed under the special exception in the limited professional district. So it's fairly narrow focus. There may be others in the future in a limited professional district. Right now, this is the only bed and breakfast that meets those particular requirements. Some of the other requirements primarily for a property of this nature would be 4 acres minimum in size, has to be on the Aiken Historic Register or National Register of Historic Places, and accommodate at least 50 parking spaces, and have a wall or dense vegetation at least 6 feet in height around it. Again, Rose Hill does meet all of those criteria. The Planning Commission, after they discussed at their August meeting, voted on a 4-3 vote these changes which are attached. So before you tonight, for your consideration, is this first reading of an ordinance to amend the zoning ordinance regarding bed and breakfast meeting facilities as requested by Stephen Mueller.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second?
I move we approve this on first reading.
Okay.
I'll second it, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Any discussion?
Yeah, I want to note that we have a request from the neighbor to keep the 10 p.m. Limitation on the music. I don't know how Mr. Mueller would feel about that, but we ought to discuss it with him. I'm not sure he's even here.
He's not here, but we've got someone in the audience that wants to speak.
Sure.
Don Brett.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. My name is John Brecht. I live at 743 Chaffee Lane. This is a first read. I don't have a presentation ready, but I just would like to take this opportunity to go on the record that I oppose this amendment. I believe amplified concerts after 10 p.m. is just not appropriate to the surrounding residential community, be it Rose Hill or any other future bed and breakfast that would have people living around it. I just want to go on record as saying I'm opposed to the amendment.
Sure.
Mr. Breck, you're okay with the serving of the breakfast hours?
I don't know what negative impact that would have, unless it would mean a lot of traffic and parking. I walk by there, and there's a problem with parking as well that these concerts generate. Just last Saturday night, they were two sides of the street, parking on the parkways. So if a 7:30 breakfast would generate more traffic, more customers, that would maybe create parking, that's the only objection that maybe I would see. But my primary objection is the 10 p.m. and the quality of life and peace and quiet in the neighborhoods.
Okay. He's just asking for several things. One is serving food from 7:30 in the morning till 11 in the evening, the concerts every other week, New Year's Eve events extended till 12:30 a.m. with amplified music, and then the music amplified music till 10:30. So
I do hear Aiken High School marching band on Friday nights. I hear concerts down here, and I also hear what goes on at Rose Hill. And every 2 weeks, I just hate to see that property and that neighborhood become a venue for amplified concerts and miscellaneous partying.
I look forward to more comments at the second reading then.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, John, it's already, of course, we already have amplified music.
I know, until 10 p.m.
Yes, so we're talking about 30 more minutes.
That's unacceptable.
Have you had any discussion with any of the other neighbors about this?
One or two, yes.
Because I say this only to say that, as far as we're concerned, unless someone else has heard any complaints, and we haven't heard any complaints with what's gone on so far.
Okay. When do improvements become detriments, if they are improvements, which I'm sure Mr. Mueller would consider this to be? But when do they stop being such and become detriments and detractors to the neighborhood?
I understand. Absolutely. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Thank you.
I have a point of order.
Okay, please.
Jan Smith, 183 Dogwood Road. I would like to point out that on page 124 of 151, at least in the attachment that was up there in the hall, where he states that other outdoor concerts may end at 11, there is, and basing the argument that Rose Hill should be allowed to do it till 10:30, the current noise ordinance, section 2234, does grant conditional exemptions for city-sanctioned events, which the lobster race is and other events. So that is okay per the noise ordinance. And one reason for writing this noise ordinance or revising it 2.5 years ago was to make it consistent throughout the city, to apply to everybody, and easier for public safety to enforce. I think 10 o'clock is just fine, and I think that Rose Hill should have to comply to the noise ordinance just like everybody else.
Okay. Thank you, Jan. Mr. Mueller, would you like to address these comments or any other comments you might have as to why you need or you would like to have the additional time?
Thank you and good evening. Stephen Mueller, 221 Greenville Street, Northwest. It's always been a delicate process from the beginning to balance this out, and I've always pointed out, and instead of from the beginning being just downtown business and try to do just anything, protect the property, go along with the comprehensive plan to have a vibrant downtown and increase the quality of life with a mixture of events and commercial activities, and all of these things are balances because you're trying to use good judgment and be constrained. And we've tried to be thoughtful about things and include people and ask. And truly, you know, the conversations that we've had have been surprisingly supportive. I don't know surprisingly, but genuinely, people say that they appreciate the life that's going on in the music, and they appreciate we being constrained about certain things. And of course, people who want to go to a concert, and of course they wanted to go to 11, 12, 1 o'clock, whatever, but you know, I thought originally 11 o'clock would be a sufficient time, like most any other comp. And then a couple people in the past that said that they thought that was too late, and I suggested, well, we'll just say 10:30 then. Fine with me. And that's where we are. And we went to the, I thought this was a modification to the ordinance, and we went to the BZA and went through this process, and that they had thought in their better judgment that you should be making the decision. So that's where we are tonight, trying to find balance, fine-tune things, not take advantage be open, and increase the quality of life and be restrained about it with the breakfast in the morning, with the New Year's Eve, and the thing about the two concerts a month, that was this has been a problem just with the wording, because when you put out a schedule, if we do something and we say it's every other Friday night, last summer we got in trouble because every Friday night meant that there was by one day an additional Friday, so there was three. So by that technicality, we got reprimanded. So by the spirit of the law, we were doing it every other week, but by the technical writing of it, we were in violation. So that's what brings us here tonight. And then, of course, I think that covers it.
Steve, right here. Why go to 10:30? Tell me what the importance of that is. If you get some of the other things you're requesting, it seems to me that they're concerned about going past the time that you have now.
Well, it just on the like I said, on the paid concerts, which are at a maximum of two a month, and the general, it's just the general expectation of the population, the people who come, what they're requesting. That's what I would say. That was the impetus for the request. Mm-hmm. They, of course, would like it later, and I didn't think it was an overstretch to ask for something. I thought it was a reasonable 10:30. It's on the Friday evening, and maybe the football game is still going on at that time. I don't know. You know. That was the reason for asking for that, and not later. You know, that would be fine with me.
Well, specifically, what are you going to do in this 30 minutes that you're asking for if it's approved? Is this for the music aspect?
Yes, sir. That's the continued amplification, so that if somebody was dancing, and that's usually, towards the end, that's when the momentum is going and people are having a good time, and that's where the enjoyment is. Mm-hmm. And people never want to go, So at some point, I have to pull the plug, and I do this rightfully in respect of the rules, the ordinances, and the neighbors. But instead of pulling the plug at 10, I would do it 10:30. So all it essentially allows is those 30 more minutes of enjoyment.
Yeah. Well, suppose you started 30 minutes earlier.
No, that's possible. I mean, it'd be the same thing as saying start at 3 in the afternoon. But
No, we're not talking about starting 3 in the afternoon.
No,
what time does your music start?
7 o'clock. We do 7 to 10. It's a concert, it's a 3. Yeah. And normally, and see the bands that I pay for, I'm paying for 4 hours. You know, it's in all their contracts. Everywhere they play a 4-hour set. But I pay for them for 3 hours. So that, it's just the norm. And I could start at 6, but it's so early in the summer, in the afternoons, and it usually doesn't get late, dark until, 8:30 or so.
Steve, I'm here. I know that when Eva started to renovate, and once things were done, you went through the neighborhood and invited folks over to see what you were doing, and it was met with a lot of positive comments. I have not polled these folks to talk about the music, but have you had any complaints?
No, we've always, felt like, there are neighbors and people that are around. They're always for them to be inclusive. And I felt like, tonight, if I thought it was a major thing, a campaign and all this kind of stuff, I could have had people, come down here and show that. But I wasn't going to impose on them. I mean, they've done it before.
I know.
And they would gladly come again. I just didn't feel like it.
Right.
Because when I talk to people, they're very, very supportive. I have some neighbors that are right by that just are delighted by it. I wouldn't exaggerate. I mean, that's just what they say. So, no to your answer. I haven't heard anything.
I just want to thank you for the work that you do over there. I mean, it's not a charity. It's, well, sometimes it must feel like that. But
this Friday,
as a relatively close neighbor, I mean, I can't think what would have happened to that neighborhood if that block had been left there to deteriorate. And to be honest, I myself, I don't live a half a block away, so I do care about what those people think. But I think a half an hour twice every other week is not going to damage much. And if it gives you a little time to get a little more business, I think that's a good thing. And I wish you well, and I thank you.
I think there's another comment by a gentleman that's going forward.
Steve. Thank you. We have a gentleman that's coming up to speak. Thank you. Thank you, Steve.
My name is David Bacher. I live right across the street.
David,
how are you?
Could you speak in the mic, please? That's all right.
Hi, folks. We're opposed to having it go to 10:30. I've read all the ordinance issues. I've tried very hard to understand what it is. But if you have a band, and the band has bass, it's an intrusion. My wife and I understand 10 o'clock. We sometimes gauge what we're going to do on those evenings. But 10 o'clock very easily can lead to 10:10 to 10:30. As 10:30 can very easily lead to 10:40, 10:50. I really am not in agreement with that. If you were in our living room, you'd hear it. And it's not their fault. There's not a band alive that comes 30 minutes to closing, doesn't amp it up. And I've tried everything I can, and I can't do much about it. It's not Eva, and it's not Stephen's fault. They tried. But we can live with the 10 o'clock. And if I've read the noise ordinance correctly, it really does. It is a very stiff ordinance. But like anything, if it's going to be employed, it would be a much greater hardship than asking them to keep the music at 10 o'clock. So as a good neighbor, I ask that 10 o'clock be the time, and we have a mindset that we'll deal with that and live with it. I am concerned, however, also that any and all changes that are made to this facility are granted along with the land. We have good neighbors now in Evans, Stephen. But you get a corporation comes in and buys this place, who do we go over to see? CEO lives in Michigan, maybe. I have real concerns about that. I thank you for your time.
David, this is an ordinance, no matter what happens. That in all of our ordinances, council can make changes if necessary, when the time comes, if necessary, to ordinances. So it's not like this is forever going to be. I mean, if it were to be approved, or any ordinance be approved, they can be changed.
I understand that it can be changed, but that's a long process. And unfortunately, the impetus to change that would require me or other neighbors to be someone that we would rather not be, and that I am not. I'm sure that I would elect to leave the community or leave the area. And that's not what we want. We work very hard on our home. I'm here, and I'm just representing my wife and myself. We haven't gone around and canvassed other people. We don't do that. And it's difficult for me to stand up here right now because I enjoy the company of my neighbors. But you'd understand if you're in my living room what I'm talking about. I appreciate your time. I appreciate what you folks do.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Mr. Basher, may I ask you a question? If I understand what you're saying, do you think it would be a problem to extend the hours for the New Year's Eve?
Our mindset is such that we, and I have been very vocal in saying they should be able to do that New Year's Eve. That's one night. If I can't live with one night, I'm not hospitable at all. But it's every other Friday, and then you have certain things that come in between. And we've had a run in the last few weeks where there were three or four things occurring.
With music?
Oh, yes. Amplified music. Without a doubt. It gets old. But our mindset, we can live with that 10 o'clock number. It gets a little tough. I'm 61. I get tired. And the house is laid out as such, and I can't change it. Both our living room and bedroom are on the Greenville side, and it just goes right up Greenville. But New Year's Eve is not a problem.
While I listen to you speak, and thank you for coming tonight, I'm reminded of what was going to happen to that facility, who had an interest in that facility, prior to Steve and Eva coming here. And there was an interest with some investors to purchase that piece of property and to turn it into a skills training area where people would come in to acquire skills in that facility. Certainly they have made quite an investment, of which I think we're proud of. That being said, when we look at the economy, and I'm sure they're looking at what they have worked at trying to figure out what is a good blend for attraction to make it work with that piece of property. And this may not be it in terms of trying to get people an appeal to come and to be able to yield a profit from a business. And I'm sure that it costs quite a bit to maintain the grounds and whatever else they have to do to that piece of property. But certainly there's an understanding with how you feel. You came here, you made an investment in your property, but also the other hand with where they are too in terms of the investment that they've made. And as you so well said, so eloquently said, what we have to consider too is if Eva and Steve decide to sell the property in the future, what comes next? And so all that is something that I ponder as I listen to you and listen to Steve and Eva and what they're faced with as well, and John Brett and his concern as well. So.
Well, I appreciate this. I appreciate your time. I do believe that if people are going to go to the concert, if it ends at 10 or if it ends at 10:30, isn't going to change their mind. It's a question of the timing for my wife and I.
Mm-hmm.
And we're only a small part of the whole deal, and we understand. But I had to come and at least voice my opinion.
We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you, David. Anyone else want to speak on this subject? I'll tell you what, there's no question, none of us have any questions about what Steve and Eva have done, and we're so proud and thankful for what they've done there. With Rose Hill, we all remember what it was. It's been stated before from my colleagues. But I tell you, I am very concerned about our citizens that live around there also. And I'm going to vote for this on first reading to move it to second reading, but I want to really listen to citizens that might come one way or the other on the next reading if it goes to second reading. We've got to be very careful. 10:30, I would not want, I'm going to tell you this because it's the honest truth, the way I feel. I would not want to live next to the blocks there with the music going on that late. I mean, we can hear music downtown sometimes where I live, and that's a long way away. But it's got to be loud enough for people to hear. There's no doubt about that. It's got to be. There's no way it can be muffled or anything. So I appreciate the folks that live there now that accept the 10 o'clock. And, but I do want to hear more, because we've got people that would say, this is fine, obviously. And then we've got several here that say, no, they'd rather not see council to do this. The other two pieces I have no problem with at all, but it's just that 10:30 going up 30 minutes for those who want to get sleep and go to bed. I know what it's like to want to go to bed sometimes a little earlier than I used to, but never get to do that hardly. But anyway, that's my point of view on this issue. I'm still kind of on the fence, but I'll support it on first reading, going so that we can get it to second reading and public hearing.
May I ask a question, Mr. Mayor, about the ordinance itself, and that is, are we allowed to make changes in the ordinance as it reads now and vote in part for those parts we like and change the parts we don't like?
That's the rule of council, yes.
Okay. Because what I'm hearing is that everybody is okay with New Year's Eve, maybe. I don't know about you, John, but New Year's Eve, and you know, that doesn't necessarily come on Friday, but and serving of the meals, the every other week versus, you know, the way it stated before, seems okay with everybody. It's just going to 10:30 seems to be a problem, and I guess I think that might be what we'll face in 2 weeks when we visit this again. But I do plan to vote on it tonight to move it to second reading so we can hear from more people.
And it does go with the land, you said, this ordinance.
It does.
I think.
So if the Muellers left, it would still be with the next property owners.
That's correct.
Okay, that's my.
But it's also affecting other bed and breakfasts that meet these criteria, right?
If they meet.
There aren't any.
The specifications.
If they meet all of those criteria.
Saying, no. There aren't any.
Okay. I think I've always stood on the side of the neighbors. Now, there are not very many neighbors here, but frankly, I think about it myself. But if I were living within a block, I would not want amplified music playing next door to me or down the street. And I love the Muellers absolutely, and they've done a wonderful job, but I just can't bring myself to vote for this. The other things I have no problem with, but going beyond 10, which is the ordinance, we've done quite a few special ordinance things to accommodate the needs of the Muellers, but it seems to be working the way it is at the moment. Yeah, maybe crowds never want to go home when they're having fun, but I think 10 has been accepted by everyone before, and I'm going to stick with that.
And I too am inclined to reflect a major concern with a 10:30, and hope that you might want to reconsider, I mean, given that you're getting a couple of extra concerts a year. But I'm going to vote to bring it to second reading.
Call for the question, sir.
Okay. No more discussion? Okay. Everyone in favor of this on first reading, show of hands, please. Okay. Opposed? One. Okay, passes 6-1. And we look forward to hearing at second reading in 2 weeks. Okay, item 7 is the first reading of an ordinance to rezone property on 1506 Two Knots Road. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. If I could just, before some of them leave, next meeting would be on the 28th, and that is a public hearing, so if you want to speak to this issue, you know, that'd be the time to show up on the 28th, 2 weeks from today, at 7 o'clock. The next item is an ordinance amending the zoning of real estate owned by Martin Corey from residential single-family RS-15 to limited professional. This is a piece of property that approximately 4 years ago City Council reviewed. It's a home on Two Notch Road. It's currently zoned RS-15. It's next to a piece of property that has attached single-family units that were built about 3 years ago. The owner of the home would like to go ahead and get it rezoned to LP so that a professional office could be converted at that particular place. We did attach the minutes from the meeting in 2005, and the owner has requested again after a one-year limitation. They can come back and ask that same request. There really isn't a lot of changes to the original request that was made. The only change would be that we see is there is a new road going along the side of that home, and that we feel the if you do approve this, that the driveway to this office should be off that new road that goes into that single-family dwelling complex. The Planning Commission at their meeting voted unanimously not to approve this because they didn't see any changes from what occurred in 2005. So for your consideration tonight, this is first reading of an ordinance to rezone property at 1506 Two Notch Road, RS-15 to limited professional.
Thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. I'll second it so we get to discussion here. Is there any discussion?
What was the motion to?
To approve this first reading of this ordinance.
To approve.
Okay.
Is this the one we turned down before?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And it's a new owner now, Mr. Corey. I think several weeks. I'm not sure of the time. Maybe somebody remembers it's in here. Several weeks after we had that issue back several years ago, then it was sold to Mr. Corey, who I don't know, but not that that makes any difference who owns it, I don't think.
Well, I was at the Planning Commission when this was deliberated, although the minutes don't reflect that. I was there. And I'm sure we're going to have some comments from the audience on this issue.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Well, the purpose of my motion was to get second reading. It's not that it's going to be a...
Sure. Okay. Well, let's see if anyone would like to speak on this issue. Okay. Jan?
Jan Smith, 193 Dogwood Road. 4.5 years ago, the City Council turned down the same request by the previous owner. And I don't know if Mr. Corey knew about that issue when he purchased the property with the intent to put an office there, because he bought it in June of 05. 11 residents from the neighborhood showed up at the January 2005 City Council meeting to speak against this LP rezoning. On August 11th, I called everybody, but only five could make it, and they all spoke at the Planning Commission meeting. We had the same concerns that we had 4.5 years ago. We don't want any more LP creep in our neighborhood, increased traffic, or anything else. We would urge you to deny this request on this first reading. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. Anyone else like to speak? Okay, it's back to City Council then for us to decide for discussion.
Mr. Mayor, what's changed that would allow us, cause us to...
As Roger mentioned, only that one change, which I don't know that that changes. Well, each of us have to decide what that change is and how it affects our thinking, but basically nothing's changed. Okay. There's more traffic going down there because of some changes that have made on a little bit further down at Wick Center, for instance. But that's only at certain times when we have tennis tournaments or something special. which is not that often.
There are other LP properties further to the south of that area, a dentist's office, a doctor's office. And in 2004, 2005, when they brought this to City Council, I think their thought, or the general thought, was, well, moving one more house up with LP is not a problem, since there already is LP further to the south. At that time, a number of citizens came forward and said, well, they may not think it's a problem, we think it's a problem, and we don't want to see this keep creeping further to the north. So it's, again, it's council's decision. It would not be what we consider spot zoning, since there is other zoning just adjacent to it that allowed LP.
And there is one item that's changed. We now have an access management ordinance, which is causing the driveway, if the zoning was approved, to be from Kendallwood, which is a concern for the neighbors. So it's probably the first time the access management ordinance has come into play.
Are these individuals here?
Is Mr. Corey here by chance? I don't know the gentleman. Or anybody representing him?
Okay.
Well, I don't see that there's been any change enough to change my opinion. If someone representing them might would have been here, maybe they could.
I don't either.
Given us some information, but so I personally am not going to vote for this.
I concur.
Call the vote.
Okay, any discussion? Any more discussion? Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor of denial of this request?
The motion for denial or for approval?
The motion was for approval, but there's no one to speak. There's no one to address. It's been pointed out there's no changes. You have the neighbors.
Okay, we still have to go through the process.
We need to make sure the motion is clear.
Can I rescind my motion?
You might.
I'll rescind my motion.
Okay. All of those in favor of
it? You have to rescind yours,
ma'am. I'm sorry.
You seconded it.
Okay. I rescind my motion.
Thank you.
You're second.
Mr. Okay. Mayor.
Yes.
I move that we vote to deny this request.
Second.
Okay. We have a second. Okay. Any discussion on that? If not, show of hands in favor of that motion. Okay. All right. Passes unanimously. So this is denied. Okay. Item 8, approval of the state maintained street paving list. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, sir. The good news is the state has been able to get more paving done than we've seen in the past. Part of it is because of the stimulus money that has come through. So we have prepared a new listing of projects. The listing is longer than normal. We have a total of 6 miles. Normally we'd get closer to 2.5 to 3 miles, but we wanted to give them extra streets in case they again received some additional money. So the listing that you have here is in order of what we feel is our priority. We being the Public Works Department, drives and inspects every street within the city. About half our streets are state-maintained streets. They call them C-Fund. Monies go ahead to resurface them. And then the other half of the streets are city-maintained, and we use a lot of our once-on-sales tax money to resurface those roads. Basically, everything on the very south side of the city is city streets and everything. From Aiken Estates, Boardman Road to the north are state streets. There's a few in each area that are intermixed, but that's kind of the dividing point. Everything since about 1980 is when the change was made. So for your consideration tonight, this is approval of the state maintained street paving list for 2009-2010.
Okay. Thank you. Do we have a motion and a second to approve this?
So moved, Mayor. Move to approve the street paving list.
Okay, I'll second it. Any discussion?
I want to mention something, and I doubt that, I don't know that we can do anything, but it seems to me that when we used to pave roads, we didn't end up with these block-long tire marks all over the roads adjacent to the roads that are being paved, which are really unsightly when we've done a lot of work around the areas and everything. I mean, look at that beautiful flower bed over there, and all I frankly can see are the tire tracks from all of this. Did it always used to be like that? It seems to me like I just don't remember seeing those all over the place until the last few years.
I'm not quite sure how you eliminate that.
I don't either. I agree with you there, but I just thought I'd bring it up because I do think it's unsightly, and when we're spending a lot of money trying to make something look better.
I agree. They go away after time.
When the road wears out.
Well, the tires going over and all that.
Yeah. But, well, I don't know. The ones... They've been there a long time now, and I'm glad the roads are paved, but frankly, it doesn't look all that much better when there are tire tracks all over. I just wondered. It just didn't seem like it used to be like that.
Must be what they're using now.
It must be.
Well, number one, I'm not too sure a number of years ago if they tacked the roads. You know, they put down a tack coat initially. That's what gets on the tires that then spreads it everywhere else.
Oh, really? Okay.
So, I do know that that's what's happening currently. They put down a light asphalt tack so that there's bonding between the paving and the existing roadway. So,
seems like it might work better if they let it dry or something. Maybe not.
I do have a point I'd like to raise, which is essentially Whiskey Road along the Palmetto Golf Club there, which is a constant deterioration. I assume it has to do with water, but it's also heavy rains. It doesn't drain from that side of the street. Can't we? In fact, I've had a few complaints about that recently, and I just wonder if we can't do something about that.
About the water draining? Or it's
water drainage.
You know, it's been repaired, so
yeah.
We'll see how long it lasts.
See, because I think the water is what's causing or adding to the other problem.
And to get rid of the water means they have to get permission from the Palmetto Golf Course to put some storm drainage from Whiskey Road to the low point. And I know that we've had some ponds there for, probably since the time the road was paved in and around that area. And you're absolutely correct. One of the reasons why the road does ripple is the base does get wet, and with the amount of traffic that's there. And we have talked to the highway department about it several times and asked them to do something about it, and they keep saying, well, they can't do anything about it until they get the easements, and I don't think they're frankly real concerned about it.
Can't we put that on this sort of a list?
We can, but if they're not going to be able to get permission from the Palmetto Golf Course.
But at least it gets moving one.
And we generally try not to put on our C fund. We try to put on local roads and not spend our money on state designated highways. And South Carolina 919, which is a Whiskey Road, then they use their funding to go ahead and repave a road like that. So we have not in the past put those roads on our list.
So right. I would argue this one is a problem. It really is.
You're saying
it even creates a danger.
You're saying that Palmetto Golf Course has not given us permission in the past.
Right. And Larry, you have anything more you want to say on that?
I wonder if we've asked them recently. Go back and address that. And
not recently.
Maybe we can.
I mean, we'd ask. It's the same board there for a number of years. So, again, what we'd be talking about is somebody's going to have to do an open ditch or trench and then fill it back in, and then the water's going to go to someplace, either all the way into Hitchcock Woods or their pond or some location to collect that water.
Isn't there? It seems to me across the street, at least in one of those areas, there is a water sewer, but it actually looks like it's blocked.
Well, there is one down by South, Green Boundary.
I can't make.
This is beyond the game, obviously. where Magnolia's.
I know we have an opening. The pond by Holiday Inn Express collects some of the water. And it's the other thing that we have there is a very flat area. You know, there's not a lot of elevation change.
Well, why don't we talk about that? That's off of this particular subject. But we can see if there's any new approach we can take or what it would cost, you know, to do something. Or maybe we can get some permission. It's at any rate right now, as you know, it's nice and smooth, but you're talking about the water. You're talking about something that keeps coming back when we have heavy rain. Yeah. I remember I asked, it hadn't been too long ago, 6 months maybe, I asked Roger about this. I said, that particular spot always, it seems to be, not always, but eventually it will get to be where it needs repairing again.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know the answer at that time, but maybe we can get something done on it. Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any
Mr.
other
Mayor,
discussion?
I just have another observation I'd like to make while we're talking about paved roads.
I've got one, too.
You do?
It's the same.
I was going to say that Jake Road is a little road that comes off of Sunday, and there are two houses off of Sunday that are on Jake Road.
Jake.
And it's an unpaved road in the city. It's
is
just
that,
not paved
that,
at all.
That's in the city?
It is in the city. And I guess I want us to look at that because there are two fairly nice houses that are down that road that might appreciate some paving of some sort. And also on the very first street, Kershaw Street, going from Hampton Avenue
to York.
To York. For 3/10, for you know, almost a third of a mile. I can't make it happen.
I'm sorry, what's your point?
Kershaw doesn't connect to York. Does it?
Okay.
Are we giving the state this list, or did they give us this list?
From Hampton to York.
We'll check that out.
Okay.
Yeah. See what you mean. Okay, is that it?
Yeah, that's it, Mr. Mayor. We can vote now.
Okay, since we're a little bit off the subject, I've been kind of, one of my pets is something that's been on the state list now, I think, for 2 years or more, maybe, and that's it's Park Avenue, in front of our municipal building. That is one of the worst roads, I think, especially to be right downtown. It's in pitiful shape. And that's on the list of 1 year. I don't know, you remember, Roger, what year it is?
Not without going back to those.
07, 06 or something? I would like to see something done with that. Now, that's not on this list, obviously. So we're not approving that or anything. It's already been approved, and it's on a list. Well, I'll look into that.
Okay.
Does anybody else feel that way?
Yeah.
About the main road going, you know, right in front of our building and on down. Not just in front of our building, but they pave part of that down. Okay. If there's no other.
And probably with the fact that we'll be digging up part of that roadway and
the parkway
in the next few months, it's probably just as well it wasn't paved.
Yeah, because that's going to be that new substance that's going to be along part of there.
Yeah.
So it's. But we'll check.
Okay. Well, I agree with you there. I don't know how far they're going to come out.
But a year ago, we didn't know that.
Yes. Well, that's right. Okay. No more discussion. All in favor of approval of this? Show of hands, please. Okay. Passage unanimously. Okay.
And we'll get corrected that first one to find out, is it Kershaw Street or what street it is? Excuse me, Larry?
That's correct.
Kershaw Street.
Right where the railroad tracks cross York, just where Kershaw is York.
Oh, that portion of Kershaw Street. Okay.
Yes,
okay. Beverly.
Okay.
This is going past the sheriff's office.
Oh, where the neighborhood association, where the neighborhood building is.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, it sure does go to York, doesn't it?
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
straight nails.
Do you live too long?
I ride it every day. I go to work that way.
Well, it's a good thing I didn't do that.
Okay, item nine. A direction for proposed highway overlay district. Mr. LeDuc, please.
On the action agenda that City Council and the Planning Commission put together was an item that they've been working on for over a year now, and that's to create an overlay district that will dictate for all new businesses and offices on the major entrances into the city to have a certain design features and concepts. And we've discussed this with Walgreens when they came in, and the Waffle House, that we wanted to get rid of some of the colorings and materials that they were using that just didn't feel was appropriate. The Design Review Board, the Planning Commission, has spent a lot of time looking at all those standards and have come up with the regulations which they feel good about. We then distributed those to various other organizations and individuals, and the chamber came back and said, looks great. However, we feel that due to the economic times and the situation that we're in, that we'd like to give our support, but ask that you go to consider this a year from now. We feel that the economics will be much better at that point in time, and we would then be able to wholeheartedly support 100%, but we would like you to wait 1 year. So before the Planning Commission goes to a lot of time and effort, and our planning department having to write several thousands of letters, because we're talking about notifying every parcel along those roadways, we wanted to know how you felt, and if you agreed with the chamber's approach, then we would go ahead and bring this back a year from now for action by City Council. So tonight they're looking for direction on which way you want to go forward. Do you want to go forward now and have the public hearings and for us to write the letters, or would you like to go ahead? The second option would be you can even pass it now and then make it starting with September of next year, that would go into effect, like you did with the smoking ordinance, where you delayed it by 6 months upon approval, or just wait and we'll bring it back to you next September. So we're looking for direction from City Council so we would know which direction we should need to go in.
I'd like to ask a question. With the chamber, I understand what the chamber is suggesting, and appreciate their comments. But with the economy down, if you will, it seems like maybe there's not going to be much building anyway. This might be the best time to do this.
Absolutely. Now,
if we delay, and let's say the economy comes back like we all want it to, robust, a year from now, and we go about this, how's the chamber going to feel about it then? How the business is going to feel? Of course, it's not going to affect, as I understand it, I've read it a couple times, it's not going to affect the existing businesses, right? Only new businesses. That will have certain, they'll have to get approvals, and I can understand if we had a lot of new businesses coming in, they'd have to go through the approval process and all that. That might cost them a little extra money. And but I was thinking about this, and it just seems like now might be the best time to do this. Comments?
Maybe I'm. I would quibble with the fact that the chamber has bought into this. I have their letter that was sent to McDonald Law. They don't agree insofar as it applies to existing businesses. They ask that any building of 5,000 square feet or less be exempt, and they ask that the value determination on whether or not a remodeling would apply should be based not just on the building value, but on the building and land value, which would make it more difficult to meet the criteria to do it. I'm of a frame of mind that we need to hash this out some more. I agree with not doing it, but we need to hash it out and come to an agreement, because if you're going to exempt businesses of 5,000 square feet or less, you're talking about almost every bank, every fast food restaurant. Mm-hmm. And I think Ed was tasked at the Planning Commission to get a sense of how that would interface with the ordinance on the main highways. I quite frankly feel that we ought to defer, given the existing situation. We don't need to impose an added cost to business at this point, especially given that we've got some issues to work out.
Absolutely. There are some things in there that are not exactly clear, and I agree with that.
But do we need to set that for a year at this point? I don't see that's necessarily the case. Why don't we work out the wrinkles and move ahead with improved design guidelines for new businesses? I agree with the mayor's concept. This is probably the best time to go ahead and do it, not later.
Yeah, but if you're going to do it, you want it to accomplish what.
But we can do that maybe in a month or two, not a year. Let's not arbitrarily say a year.
I'm not hung up on the year. What I'm hung up on is the idea that we need to wash this through the chamber again and see if we can come to a resolution between the chamber, the design review board, and the planning commission and the city council that this is what we want to do to our major thoroughfares. We don't have that agreement at this point.
Right.
I thought we did. No, we don't.
I agree. There are a number of things here that are questionable in my mind, too. Just trying to understand some of these things. Bill, Mr. Reynolds, would you like to speak, please?
There have been a couple of updates that you wouldn't be aware of, and these are new. This is a letter dated September 10th. To Ed Evans from David Jamieson, and basically they're saying that they're willing to withdraw this 5,000 square foot requirement, and so that would have been a stumbling block.
Major.
But I think the chamber is working hard, and David Jamieson said in our last work session, I think you were there, mm-hmm. they support this ordinance. There were a couple of hiccups in it that we were going to consider, and the big stumbling block was the 5,000 square foot, which they seem to have backed away from. There's another issue that you brought up, Mr. Dwar, about the 50% threshold, and frankly, we'll talk about this tomorrow at the Planning Commission meeting. But they kind of have a point, because we are inconsistent. We've got inconsistencies in our ordinances. There are some parts of the ordinance talks about 50% of the land and the building value, and other parts just talk about the building value. So our thinking, and we'll refine this tomorrow, is we probably ought to be consistent, you know, whether it's going to be 50% land and building or whatever, but it ought to be consistent. And that's what we'll bring back to you, and then you'll obviously decide. But the big stumbling block, I think, has been removed.
Thank you.
If that helps.
Yes.
And they're not insisting anymore on waiting a year then?
Well, I don't think they were ever insisting on it. They were recommending it.
Until the economy improved, but
yeah,
we don't know when exactly that's
going to happen. And to clarify, they were recommending that the guidelines go into effect 1 year after approval. They were not saying don't even consider, wait a year to even vote on this. They were saying go ahead and vote on it, but just don't implement it for a year. And that obviously is, you know,
that's a different proposition.
Yes.
Yeah. Very good.
And you're correct. It says 1 year after approval.
Yeah. Bill, so tomorrow in planning, you're gonna resolve an issue or two?
Well, the big one has gone away.
Yeah, you're right.
The 50%
right.
threshold.
Yeah.
And then the other two remaining issues was the 1 year, but we wanted to get some direction from you, because our concern was This isn't going to get approved by you until probably January. I mean, by the time we go through our public hearings and your public hearing, So then January 2010, if it's a one-year wait or moratorium, it's 2011. And by then, we might say, well, gee, the economy hadn't improved. Let's wait some more. And at some point, you have to go back through that whole process again. So we just wanted to get some clarification from you, whether you wanted us to proceed on the assumption that we ought to do this as soon as we can, or whether you wanted to just say, let's hold and see how the economy, progresses, and then come back and review this later. And that was the direction we were looking for.
Yeah. And as you said, the chamber feels not that we shouldn't go ahead and do this, but not implement it, not put it out there until...
I'm always reluctant to speak for somebody else.
From the letter.
Yes. The chamber leadership would like to stress once again that we believe the intent of the guidelines is good, and in the long run we will protect the integrity of our community while enhancing Aiken's look and appeal. And I think that's basically it. I mean, then they've got the recommendations that they were making, but they did withdraw the 5,000 square foot recommendation. So we will deal with the 1 year tomorrow based on some guidelines or guidance from you. We'll deal with a 50% threshold, and then there's an issue about flexibility. They want to be sure, as spelled out in the proposed overlay district ordinance, flexibility should be used in future design considerations. And I don't know how we can address that in an ordinance. I think planning department is, always flexible, and so I don't know how we're, I don't think we can put that in an ordinance.
There are several things that I was concerned with as I read this bill, with the chamber's comments regarding wait until the economy is better. Who determines when the economy is better? It's a good time. One thing. Secondly, your comments in terms of a year from now, let's assume that it's passed the tests of it's better a year from now, then do we have to go through the entire process all over again because someone has said, hey, it's been a year, it's stale, let's just review all this, and how much do we review that's acceptable? So
that's a concern that I don't have the answer.
And we've got a planning commission that's familiar with this now. I mean, things, groups change, and you do have a group that's familiar with this right now, and the problems. And
well, and the design review board. I mean, we're kind of working, parallel
that's,
here.
That's right. What I meant. And I just would be really interested to see what you decide tomorrow, as far as smoothing it out. And maybe whether or not you implement it, too, would depend on what the final ordinance is, if we really do think it's that onerous for a business to comply with.
Well, ultimately, when it comes to you, you'll look at it and decide, whether it is or isn't, and whether you want to implement it immediately or 6 months or a year from now. But we just wanted to be sure that, we were proceeding, according to your wishes, either proceed normally or hold for a year.
But
yep.
But as I understand it, we're talking about tomorrow, so we will proceed normally. There will be at some point, perhaps, a one-year delay in implementation.
But
we should go ahead with direction. Well, we got the momentum to go ahead with.
But Dick, he would like direction from us. Like Roger's saying, if council decides not to wait,
okay,
the chairman of planning commission design review would proceed with the hearings
immediately,
and then would present back to council 30-60 days for us to take action. Now, at that point in time, we could decide to delay if we wanted to, for a few months maybe. We could at least see what the picture is, what the economy is doing in 60 days. And then we could make a decision whether we wanted to go ahead or we wanted to wait a couple more months and see what's happening. But your point, Bill, is good. If you wait as much as a year, you might have to, who knows what that time is, but you might have to go out again. There might be enough change or people's thoughts or, you know. I don't know. I'm still thinking that now might be a good time for us to go ahead with this because your workload's probably lower than it would be if the economy was booming at this point in time. Of course, you personally and a lot of us are involved with the 175th, but that's an aside.
Speaking selfishly, it's as Mrs. Barter said, it's fresh in our minds.
Right. Right.
And to have to come back a year from now and start up all over again, staff's got to get up to speed, right. We've got to get up to speed, DRB's got to get up to speed, and the community would have to get, you know, up to speed. So from a purely selfish standpoint, I think we would like to proceed getting the proper input as we go along. I know there will be concerns, justifiably so, but that's the purpose of the public hearings. And as we have ours and you have yours, you may hear things or we may hear things that say, wait a minute, you know, there's some part of this that's wrong or we need to change it, or maybe for the good of the community, we do need to delay this thing until January of 2011. Mm-hmm. This is one voice asking for that and a very reputable, you know, important voice.
Mr. Mayor. What I'm hearing everybody agree to is that we need to go ahead and move forward with this. And mm-hmm. And after we get it, I guess after, when we get it back in its final phase, if we decide that we need to put it off for a year, that that's something we could do at that time. But I don't think we need to put off the discussion
any period
for now. I think what Jane said was probably one of the things that's mm-hmm. we've got to think about, and that is that we do have a planning commission that understands it now. And as the members change, that might not be the case. So we need to go ahead and go with it. That would be my recommendation.
So, Bill, now, you know, of course, it's been said that this only affects new businesses, but, you know, we're sending out over 1,000 letters to existing businesses. So, I mean, that's going to put them, any changes that they make underneath the purview of
the 50% threshold.
So it has to be 50%. Mm-hmm. So if they were just to decide to paint the exterior of the building, there's no
apply.
It'd be fine. Mm-hmm. Okay, so, you know.
And the only thing on the 50% is the 50% of the building or 50% of the building and the property. You know, we have to make that decision. Mm-hmm. The other thing, Council, you know, probably 60-70% of the new buildings that are going to be coming before you over the next several years are property that's currently outside the city that are going to come through annexations or water utility type of requests. I mean, look at the Walgreens in two situations, the situation that we had with Checkers, the situation up and down Whiskey Road especially, those are all outside the city. Well, you then, anytime they come in under a PR zone or a water request, you could go ahead and ask for whatever you want. Even much beyond what's going to be within these regulations that are going to be approved by you all at a later time. You understand what I'm saying? That as a PR or annexation or utility request, you could put whatever conditions you want to on those properties, just like they could ask for any condition they want. And it's there's that flexibility. What this primarily is concerning is those properties that are already currently zoned or the businesses that are already there. So there's probably 20-30% of the properties that are out there that are vacant, that are currently zoned general business, but there's not a whole lot of them. But it's going to mainly affect those businesses that are currently out there that are in the city that want to go ahead and make a major change. And, you know, what is that major change going to involve? And this is going to set the bar as to what they will have to follow and help Ed Evans and the planning department staff to say, here's these regulations that you have to follow. If you can't follow them, you need to go back and get an exception to it.
So are we then going to end up, let's say, a
Walgreens or a Waffle House wants to come into the city, and they go to the planning department, and can I assume that this overlay as written would change what their normal building plans would be?
More than likely, but even beyond that, if you, when it came to you under that annexation or utility request, you could even ask for more that's going to be in these regulations.
I understand, but if they were just coming into the city and it goes to planning, does planning say no, you can't, or is it going to come to the council?
Well, first of all, they have a minimum set of standards, so they have to meet those minimum set. And then if they want an exception to it, then that'll be part of the annexation request or utility request.
Or if it was in the city, let's say.
It was already in the city, then many times that may not even come back to city council. As long as they can meet those minimum requirements that are going to be in this.
But if they didn't, would they then have the option to come to council for variances and so forth?
It's going to help.
I have my thoughts, but let's hear it from the expert.
Subject matter expert. Bill, don't leave. I have a question for you.
The intent is that these would be staff approved. If Walgreens came in, I can say pretty safely that both Walgreens that have been built would comply with the guidelines the way they're written. They'd come to us. If it's already in the city, it'd be a staff approval. If they had a, if there was some problem, they could go to the design review board.
But the Walgreens told us to take a hike on landscaping issues, and I think they threatened to leave if or not build if we didn't approve them. So would we have the leverage in that case to Walgreens to say, well, and would the council be willing to say no?
Did they? I'm not familiar with that. Did they?
I think they refused to do our landscaping. They insisted the entrance had to be at the corner, and I mean, both buildings are exactly the same.
Which
I'd have to go back to the minutes.
They're
both the same. They're both the same. But I was involved with the new one on Richland. I wasn't involved with the one on Whiskey.
Different layouts. One is at a corner.
Yeah. But I recall them saying if they couldn't do this, that they wouldn't build.
I know it was on the curb cuts. They said that, but I believe they've met all of our landscape requirements.
Well, Mr. DeWar is right about that. They should have had, I think, maybe a tree where the main entrance was, and they got approval not to have that tree there. But the overlay district guidelines don't get into landscaping. It's just the building itself. And again, if I think both Walgreens would meet the guidelines. If they were in the city, they'd come to us. It'd be staff approved. If there was a problem, it would go to design review board.
But what if they didn't? What if they came to you and they said, we don't want to meet this requirement?
Design review board.
Okay, so it does not come back to city council?
Only if it's a, if it's planned commercial, it could come back to council as part of a concept plan.
Correct.
If it's not planned commercial, it goes to DRB. And just one comment on Mr. Wells, I think, mentioned painting. And I discussed this with John Wade today. And if somebody just wanted to paint the exterior of the building, it would require approval, even if they didn't go over 50%. If they want to change the color of their building, the way it's written now, they'd have to get approval to do that.
See, now that affects existing businesses, which concerns me greatly during this economic time that we're facing. I wouldn't mind, for new businesses coming in, new construction, but when we're talking about 1,000 merchants sitting out here on these highways, and we're going to go to them during this difficult time and say, look, if you want to paint the exterior of your building, you're going to have to spend money and come down here and sit in front of a board to get it done. I have grave concerns with that now.
They wouldn't sit in front of a board, I don't think. They just submit the application, right?
Well, it's all according to what they're going to have done.
How it's structured, yeah.
And design review board would have an approved color palette. If it's on there, it's staff approved. If not, they go to DRB.
That was going to be my point when I asked Bill Reynolds not to leave. When you think of sending out 1,000, 2,000 letters, that is going to draw a lot of interest and points of view. And although we're talking about this possibly being the chamber's request to the latest for a year, by the time we get through all these hearings, it may be that after we review the comments that are being made and more feedback, it may drag out. that length of time. Who knows?
They're saying a year from approval. So however long it takes us to get it approved, mm-hmm. then the clock will start ticking.
Okay.
We'd have to see. I have a question, though, Ed. I thought when I was on the whatever it was called then, before the design review board, we didn't have any say about paint color. That was one thing we eliminated so that we didn't have that argument, you know. The feeling was that paint color could always be changed.
And that's a different overlay district, and the historic overlay is a little different from the Old Aiken overlay, which is going to be a little different from this overlay.
But I think this is the only one that has anything to say about paint color.
No,
I don't know. That downtown overlay has something to say about paint color.
I'm trying to remember. In the historic overlay, if you're painting a surface that's never been painted before, you have to get approval. If it's already been painted, you don't have to get approval. So
all we're asking for is just whether you want us to proceed or not. By the time we go through our hearings, it's
right.
going to change.
Right.
Proceed.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you may never see us again either.
This sounds like the old stall, the way it was written here. It's like, you know, let's put it off till next year, and we'll think about it again.
I don't think that's what we're talking about. I think everybody.
Well,
I want to do it.
That's what this.
Well.
That says
defer it a year after approval. I think most of the council, as I sense, wants to do this, but I'm sensitive to the issue in a small business. I think we have the authority to determine the effective date of any ordinance, and I guess we could probably change that, but I'd hate to have the planning department send out 1,000 letters until we're really serious about it. And is it likely that we could go through this process and get it approved and not send 1,000 letters out until X amount of months before it goes into approval? I mean, I'm all for it, but this isn't the right time to add to small business.
I think everyone that's spoken is for it. Chamber's for it. I mean, no one's against the overall objective. It's just the timing aspect. And again, is this the right time? With the economy the way it is, we're not implementing it. We're just going through the public hearings. We're getting the sentiment. And the Planning Commission will make a decision. It'll come back to us in 30 to 60 days, hopefully. That's what you're hoping, Phil. And that's the time then council has the big decision to make. And there may be some changes we want to make to it at that time. Right? I mean, it'll be our decision. This has got to take place sometime, this discussion. I mean, going through the hearings and that kind of thing. It's got to be all fleshed out at some point. So do we do that now, and they give us something, and then we decide when we want to implement it, or if we want to make some changes to it even, or do we put the whole thing off a year and do that, when hopefully the economy is going to be booming again, or better.
Mr. Mayor, do you need a motion? Do we need a motion, or we just need to?
I think we ought to certainly give. We need to give Plan Commission some direction.
Does Mr. Wade want to speak to this issue?
Well, that's fine.
Oh, yeah.
That's fine, and there may be others too that want to speak. And that's fine. But you're looking for direction.
I personally don't think that we need to do anything to burden our small business folks. Not that we're going to do that immediately. But we need to flush this out. That means rolling it, and let's see what people have to say at public hearings.
We're going to do it sometime, because we all agree it's the right thing to do. But again, it doesn't mean that we're putting it into effect. We're just taking what you're going to advise us, like you advise us on many things. And then it's up to us to decide what to do with it. And we can table it for 6 months, see what the economy does. Or we can do lots of things. We can change the part about the painting if that's a problem. Of course, that'll come out in the public hearings.
And to that point, I would ask Gary to confirm this, but the chamber had a special committee that studied this ordinance, this proposed ordinance, and the guidelines. At some length, and these were the concerns they came up with, about four or five concerns. And Gary, I don't think painting was one of them. I mean, it certainly didn't make the...
Bill, it's not painting that I'm concerned about. It's burdening an existing business with layers of stuff that they've got to go through, whether that's putting, changing a fence, a section of fence. I mean, we got fencing on this thing for an existing business. That's the thing that concerns me. I'm all in favor of let's going forward with this, and let's going forward with this for new construction in these areas. But when we're talking about affecting an existing business that's out there struggling to keep their doors open, I'm just not in favor of doing that at this time. So if we could go forward with this ordinance and have it in two steps, one where we go forward with it for new businesses that's going to locate on these corridors, great. If we're talking about sending it out to businesses that are out there struggling and saying, hey, if you want to change this section of fence, you're going to have to come down and talk to us. I'm not in favor of doing that at this time. I think that there will be a time when we can do that, but I don't think this is the time right now.
I'm sorry, Don, but we're really just talking about proceeding with the fleshing out of ordinance. We're not, and you want to, if you want to debate whether something should be in that ordinance, it seems to me that you also need to go to the hearings and to the Planning Commission and to design and review. Well, right now we're just saying, let's move ahead, finish the study, and then if there's something in there that you find so heinous that you don't want to vote for it, we could all plan it out.
And I'm saying I'm very much in favor of going forward one section of it, Dick.
But you want to split it right now, and I say this isn't the time to split it. This is the time to study it all.
I'm just offering my opinion, sir.
I know, yeah. But that wasn't really the thrust of what we're talking about.
That could well be a step that's taken, though, at some point in time.
But
what Don is saying, it could be possibly a step that's taken.
Right.
When it comes back, either when it gets defeated or deleted at the hearings, you know, as a result of hearing people, or when it comes back, if that's in there, that could be taken out by council if that's the choice.
And the other issue is to quite honestly recognize that there's nothing automatic about the economy coming back next year. I mean, I can show you lots of people that say in areas of housing, it's not going to return to normal for maybe 3 or 4 more years. Everybody hopes they're wrong, but we have no magic ball. So, you know, then we have the question of, do we want to proceed with this ordinance? I support the intent of the overlay. I want to make that very clear. I'm sympathetic to the plight that Don's talking about, but we just need to be aware that the economy may not enable us to do much about this, whether we want to or not. But I do think we should move ahead. We should flesh out the issues that the chamber has, that small business might have. We control the effective date, so we can protect the implementation of this ordinance. I'm not sure it would be fair to split the ordinance and say, yes, it's going to apply for new business but not for existing, but I guess technically we could do that if we wanted to. I don't know whether it would be wise to, but we can talk about doing it that way. But I do think we need to press ahead and get this structured properly, because at some point it's good for the city.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. You know, we had to do that with the other overlay district, Dick, that we brought in not too terribly long ago. It was affecting existing homes as well as new homes, and then we had such an uprising from citizens coming in that we had to go back and say, okay, let's don't make this apply to your existing home, but only if you make these changes. 50% or more change,
sure.
Or new construction.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just thinking we're probably going to see a lot of that same stuff.
And, that, yeah. And that's fine. And
then we should react.
We'll find out what people think through the hearings. Any other discussion?
Direction.
Yes, let's vote on this, obviously. The direction, I guess the question is, do we go ahead or do we not go ahead? So,
Mr. Mayor,
let's have a motion in a second.
I think we should go ahead with the flushing out process and then put those things in there that, or take those things out that we don't want, or put those things in that we need as we go through the process. But I think I'd like to move that we go ahead and begin the process.
I'll second it.
We have a second. Okay. Any other discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor of moving forward? Okay. Passes unanimously. Okay. Thank you, Bill, Gary.
John wanted to speak, I believe. John.
Okay. It's your John.
John, would your comment cause me to want to take the motion back?
Yeah, I was John Wade, 1180 Corner. So I was really, really opposed to this, and I was hoping that you would not vote for moving it forward. I do think, undoubtedly, in listening to some of the comments, and I'm going to ramble around because I had a direction
That's
that
okay.
I was going on, and it got changed during all this conversation. But in reading these design guidelines, undoubtedly the council members, or at least some of them, haven't read these in depth as to what they'll affect. And Ed Evans and I did have the comment or the discussion today about the painting, and the painting is on there. There's several things that really concern me, and I want to make sure that the council understands. One is, number one, they sent out and asked for letters, and I think there were only two letters. One was my letter set to planning and zoning, which was through Ed Evans, and one was sent by the chamber. And maybe I'm coming in on the back side of this, but I've gone through all of these papers backwards and forwards and spent time with planning and zoning with Ed Evans on this. And I want to understand one thing first, is why has the council allowed staff and the Planning and Zoning Design Review Board to spend all this time without first asking the property owners? And what you're affecting is you're affecting county property owners. And we talk about being in the city, and we're affecting city people, but what you don't realize, and I got a letter here for y'all from Sean at DHEC, which is over the Water Management Department in Columbia. Any of these roads that have city water on the smallest scale within a half mile, DHEC will allow them to drill a well. So you are forcing the hand of someone that is in the county and wants to stay in the county to come into the city, because you say, the city council or the ordinance say, that for you to have city services, you have to do this to meet our guidance. If they say, I don't want to do that, then what they have to do is go to the state, and right now, currently, without feasibility studies, and I just got through with one of these feasibility studies, that you cannot drill a well. You cannot put the septic tank in and manage and stay in the county. So y'all are forcing people's hands that are in the county. And you've got, over my understanding, over 2,000 people that this is going to affect, depending on how far you want to go out those arterial roads. And in doing that, I think you need to send the letters and get the opinion of people before you go put the staff and the boards through all of this work, because they've done an extreme amount of work. And some of it I agree with, some of it I like, but I just need y'all to understand that y'all are forcing people's hands in the county too. And I think it's all based on, my perception is to be able to encompass more of the city for also a tax base.
Tell me again why you feel like the city is forcing people in the county.
I'm not feeling that they are. I can prove that they are.
Okay, and why again? Tell me again.
Because of the services, and I'm just going to use one, city water.
Which we have state-approved rights to put water and sewer in certain areas.
That's correct.
And we, yeah.
But with that approval, the new guidelines that are in those papers and came from DHEC, and their regulations and their viability and the state law states that if you're within a half mile for the smallest of a building, the chamber's talking about a 5,000 square foot building, well, it can be a half a square foot building. If you serve one person water, being yourself, and I'm talking about businesses. I am not talking about personal residents. And when I say businesses, I'm talking about apartment houses and complexes. You have to tie on to your city water. So you've got these property owners in a catch-22. DHEC says no, the way the law is written. city says no without meeting our requirements. Now, do I think the city provides excellent services? I do, and I'm all for the city services, but I am not for pushing people that want to stay in the county by holding them the water over their head and requiring them to come into the city and meet these guidelines. And I've got some discrepancies or not approvals on the design review board, and one of them is paint and some of these other things. And undoubtedly, y'all didn't get a copy of my letter to Ed Evans of what I stated in there. And in the planning and zoning meeting, and also in this meeting tonight, it seems like the city and the chamber are the only two people in this. Not any of the other, and I don't belong to the chamber, and I have nothing against the chamber, but I wasn't notified in any of it, and I hadn't been to some of these meetings, I would have never known this was going on. But what about the property owners that are, or the people that are in the county that are never going to get anything from the city? So I think the city needs to look at a different direction when they spend all this time and money and effort, the staff and people, to notify generally better than they do currently as to how and who it's going to affect or what they're thinking.
Whose law is that they have to tap in if they're within a certain space?
State. I've got it right there.
Okay.
And Sean Clark.
This is one copy, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I only made one copy. Sean Clark, I can have him email copy or anybody that's interested.
It's always been that way. Yeah.
No, it has not always been that way. I've got an S3 well right now that we just finalized, and it is on University Parkway. And I've spent a lot of time and money to get this well and to get it where it is. But in 2006, they changed the laws again, and that's not happening now. Unless you can prove in the feasibility study, per Sean's comments today, that you're showing a difference of $10,000 or $15,000, $20,000 difference in what it's going to cost you to drill a well and meet their guidelines versus tying to the city's water and meet the city's guidelines on a commercial building, which would be, and Larry would have to comment this on the type of well, what size water lines, and how they want it maintained to be able to access water. And
whether you're
boring roads
or not.
If
it's state law, then it seems like the state has to change that.
Well, the state.
It's not the city.
Oh, it is the city, and it is. The state requiring one end, and the city's on the other end. And I believe that the city's using that as a tool, whether some people understand it or know it or not, but using it as a tool to force businesses in and to meet their ordinances.
But the businesses want city services.
If the business wants city services, the business ought to have to meet everything y'all decide they meet that they want.
And if they don't want city services,
then they ought to be able to drill a well and produce their business or whatever they want.
But then that was his point, that that's a state law. That's not something we can change.
But
right?
But you could change it in that, okay, if you want city water, then but you don't want to come in the city, we're going to charge you five times as much. You know, my property out on the bypass, I would much rather have had city water than to go through what I did. But I am not interested in meeting the city's guidelines, especially since I've spent over $300,000 in site work. I've been working on that property since 1999. Have not built a building yet because I don't have the money to finish the building. You can run by there anytime you want to see. The grass stays mowed. I keep it watered, fertilized, weeds down, everything else. But to meet some of the design guidelines in this, I won't meet those guidelines. And in these guidelines, you talk about the economy. Some of the height and restrictions on these, especially on gas stations and being above the height of the overhang over the gas pumps and all, you're talking about a tremendous amount of waste and material in building a building. You're also talking about the facades on these, whether they're a base, a middle, and a top, and no metal buildings, only brick, stucco, or some type of wood. I mean, these are major costs to build a building.
Well, nothing's going to be changed here tonight, John. We can pursue this if you'd like. We can talk. We can get together some more and talk about this. You've said so much here. I'd have to study it a little bit, I guess, to understand it a little bit more.
We need to move on.
John, we appreciate the information, the additional information.
But it is eye-opening to hear someone that actually
yes.
does own property that's
right.
going to directly be affected by this. This is what Mr. Wells was talking about as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I think... You don't feel that that's a goal that the Planning Commission has in their public hearings, is to hear what you think, what property owners think? I really do think it is.
Right. That's why I mentioned Flushing all this out.
I do think that they work hard to find out what the public thinks. Do I think that if you had my letter, you would see that I wrote in my letter that sometimes I think the city thinks the way that I do, is that put the cart way before the horse. And that's what I feel has been done here and in a lot of situations, that the staff and these boards have spent a tremendous amount of time without a little conception of the people that it's going to affect, other than the chamber. And, you know, the chamber is not the only people in town. Like I said, I have no problems with the chamber. But some of these things ought to be addressed to the people that they're going to affect. And you're affecting property that is in the county. So they're probably not sitting out in that audience right there.
Well, that's why we have advertisements, John. That's why we have public meetings.
I know you do.
We go through this process on many, many things. You know, there's a process we go through, and you know that.
And it's a shame that not enough people come.
Well, yes, I agree with you. It's a shame and not enough people vote sometimes, you know. But we try to do what we can. I think we're as open as any body of elected officials anywhere. And we talk and we listen, and so do our committees. But and the process will give the people opportunities to come in and speak and voice their opinions, just like you are, and just like I would be doing too if I had a strong opinion on something. I don't really know what more we could be doing. I'm sure there's something we could be doing. We can always improve. But
I think sometimes. Find out from the outside and look back in instead of what we focus on solely, because we know this business. You know your business, I know my business, and I forget that there's other people outside of that I'm affecting, and sometimes I need them to give me input so that I understand what's going on, because I just live in my own little bubble and I think I know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good point.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, John. Okay, item 10. Quick claim deeds for Fox Run subdivision. Mr. LeDuc, please.
Yes, we have a resolution here. Fox Run deeded to the city several items last year that we found out later on that they had also deeded to some other people. And so we're trying to get this straightened out. Ben's been working with Janice Ladd on this quite a bit. And we believe that we have corrected these deeds and would now like to have City Council reaffirm what we thought we were accepting once before, which will allow us to accept the roads, the water, the sewer, the lift stations, and everything else out in Fox Run so that we could serve the residents out there properly. So we are asking that you approve the attached resolution for Fox Run Subdivision Phase 1.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second?
Mr. Mayor, I move we approve a resolution authorizing acceptance of a corrective quitclaim deed of dedication from Aiken County for Wild Haven Drive, Cape Fox Circle, and Sand Fox Place, located in Phase 1 of Fox Run Division.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. Second. Any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All in favor? Passes unanimously.
And then there's another one, Mr. Mayor, I think, in that same package.
I'm sorry. Oh, do we have?
There's another one in that package, isn't there?
No, this was all together, this one resolution.
Okay, then I didn't word it correctly, but I'll move.
I was asking that you approve all of these here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Let's do it again.
Well, I move that we approve all resolutions in this packet item.
Okay.
Second, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. All right. Good point. I'm glad you mentioned that, Dick. Okay. I've got a second. All in favor? Okay. Okay. Passes unanimously. Okay. Annual report. Item 11 for 2008-09. Mr. LeDuc.
Every year we present this annual report to you. There's a lot of information. The thing that I like about it is if you look at some of the information, especially I'm looking right now at public safety, and it gives several years of history in this particular case from 2004 to 2008, or 5 years worth of data. You could see what's improving, what's not improving. You could check with Public Works and, again, look at, for the last couple of years, the amount of garbage that's being picked up and where we are at with complaints or any other information that you would like to see. So, again, a lot of times you'll call me up and you'll ask me questions, and I refer you back to the annual report because it does have a lot of good information. So if you get a chance, look at it. If you have questions, we'd certainly love to go over it with you and discuss with you because it does recap this past year, but then compares it to previous years and the goals that we had during this past year. So we thank you for your support and would like to go ahead and present to you our annual report.
Thank you, Roger. It's a wonderful report. Every year it's wonderful. As you've said, it's so much information there. All right, do we need to accept that?
No. We're just giving to you as information.
Thank you. Okay. I do want to thank the staff, though, that works hard to put this together as well. I know it's a team effort, and we thank you so much for it. Under petitions and requests, item one, utility requests for Southwind Fellowship Church. Mr. Leduc, please.
Yes, they came to the Planning Commission with somewhat of an unusual request. They would like to expand their building, and to expand their building, they need to have more water, and they need to have a certain amount of water pressure because their sprinkler system for fire suppression needs to work off of their new system. The current provider of their water out there cannot provide that. They came to the city, and we told them we could, but it would be very expensive. They would like to go ahead and get New Ellington's water and sewer department to go ahead and give them water because they get it at a lower cost. So what they're asking for is that you would deny the request for water so that they could then go to New Ellington. Typically, there are, I don't think we've ever had one asking that you deny the request, but that's their request tonight. The Planning Commission did hear their request, and they agreed to deny it on a 6-1 vote. Now, if you decide to go forward with it, we do have some conditions here. I'm not going to go through those unless council would like me to. But before you deny it, is request from them asking that you would deny their request for city water so they could go to New Ellington.
Okay, thank you, sir. Do we have a motion and a second for denial of this
Mr.
request?
Mr. Mayor, because the Planning Commission denied this on a vote of 6-1, I'd like to move that we deny it as well on a vote.
Okay.
We
at their
not
request.
Approve the request.
Okay, I'll second
water.
It. I'll second it. Okay, any discussion? If not, show of hands, please. All approval for denial passes unanimously. That is the first time, I think.
Is that legal?
20-some years.
Okay.
Okay.
Good luck.
Thank you. Yeah.
If New Ellington can't provide them the water at the pressure that they need, they may be coming back and asking
for
water.
Yeah, you need to come back.
I just talked to the Public Works Director. He said that they, by the time we get started, they will have to operate the equipment to be able to supply the water.
Okay. Right.
I hope they're correct.
So do I. I'll be back.
Okay, thanks. Thanks for being with us and sitting through all of this. All of this?
Discussion.
Okay.
Thank you.
Next item is a request for approval to display banners for the 175th celebration, along with our character banners. Bill, you want to say anything?
Just to prove it.
No, we're very proud of the banner, and we hope that you like it. We hope that you will agree to have it displayed next to character banners and the whole case.
Okay. For you gentlemen, and maybe someone else doesn't know, Bill is not only the chairman of the Planning Commission, he's also a steering committee chairman for our 175th. celebration next year. They're doing a fantastic job, and has 100-plus people working already on that. And
he's paid very well.
Yeah, we're going to double his salary, I think, if we can get that through council. Okay, that's the request. Do we have a motion and second for approval?
So I move that we approve.
Second.
Okay. All in favor? Show of hands, please.
Banner.
175th.
The banner.
Put the banner up with the character
banner?
Sure.
Okay.
And Don voted for it, I assume?
Yeah. Yes, sir, I did.
Okay, I'm sorry, Don. Okay, passage unanimously. And
three more items, then.
Three more items, yes, okay. The first one, I think, has to do with the gas bill.
Yes, it does. And before I do that, I meant to have four, but because I didn't ask it, perhaps next meeting you could give us an update on the ILS. I'm hearing rumors that, again, we're not going to get it in before the Masters, but perhaps next meeting you could update.
I could tell you right now.
Yeah, we can
add that to it.
Yeah, we'll add that.
Oh, okay. This GASB report is interesting. I can't purport to understand that it's kind of technical. I know what the subject is about. Just taking a spot check of it, they're assuming they're going to make 4.5% on their money, which I think is a little bit. I'd like to know where you could go to get 4.5% these days.
Last 10-plus years, we've been averaging over 8%.
Oh, yeah, but I mean.
Well, we're assuming in the future we're going to get back to that 8% plus, like we have for the last probably 10, 15 years. So.
Well, I hope you're right. I hope you're right. I assume that this is going to be referenced in the audit, and they're going to give us their opinion on whether we're okay with this.
I'll let Kim go ahead and answer those questions. But the long and the short is, yes, they've looked at it. They agree. This is for our post-retirement. We've been putting in $300,000 a year the last several years. The first couple years we put the money aside. We did not have to, according to GASB. We did it anyways in anticipation. When we had the first actuary look at this, he was telling us that we had to put in millions of dollars every year. We told him we thought some of his assumptions were not correct, that, you know, based on his assumptions, if we have 300, let's say we have 330 employees, there's a little bit more than that we have currently with us, and they work for the city for 30 years, that means that every year we'll have 11 employees retire. Well, in the 20-plus years I've been with the city, I don't think we've had over more than three or four employees at one of our awards dinner that have retired. In other words, they don't last the full 30 years. But all these assumptions are that they come with the city at age 20-some years old, they're going to stay for 30 years or more. We made some changes about 3-4 years ago on post-retirement. One of the concerns we have is once you start setting this money aside, you can't take it out. It's in a trust.
That's irrevocable.
It's stuck there, and you can only use it for the one purpose, and that's to pay for the health benefits of retirees. So we don't want to put too much money in there and find out later on that we got way too much. And so we had this actuary, and then we had our financial people look at it, and they all agree with what we're doing right now, put some aside, take the cautious approach, and then kind of wait and see what's going to happen. So, Kim?
And the auditors have audited this fund. Now this is the third year we've actually had money, and it's in our financial statements. It's part of our audit report. But this being the first year that the requirements are in place to have the actuarial report, and Laurie Smith, the partner with Elliott Davis, will address it during her presentation, we expect in October, to have the audit report to council.
Okay.
But this being the first year, she will spend a few minutes addressing that. But it has been in the audit report for the last 2 years.
And she did mention, because we did sit down with her and talk to her, that many of the cities and county and governmental agencies are not putting anything into GASB 45 because of the fact that there are just so many questions, and the government accounting standard board
is now looking at, well, maybe the assumptions made for GASB 45 were too rigid and too onerous, and we need to change it and loosen it up. And so there's more questions than there are answers right now on this.
And it's really a 30-year, you know, you mentioned the 4.5% interest. They're looking at this whole thing over 30 years. So there's a lot of assumptions and estimates involved.
Okay.
And I'd be a little more concerned if we were putting the money in and then taking some of it out every year towards retirement benefits. The idea that we had in here when we put the money in several years ago was, let's put it in there, leave it in there, and create a budget where you're not withdrawing money from it. So the object was, the way it was set up is you put money in, and every year you're going to take a certain amount of money out. And so our object was, let's put money in, not take anything out, until we can get a track record of what's going on. And the numbers that we had when the actuary came and spoke to council, I want to say in about 2006, and what he has now put together today, already the numbers, amount of money that he's saying that we need to set aside has decreased significantly. And so we feel we're doing the right thing, and but Lori's going to go ahead and speak to you a little bit more about that at that time. It is a very confusing thing.
I mean, you got a liability of $20 million, and you know, it's confusing. Okay. The other issue is, I noticed in the paper there was an article about the Arts Transportation Improvement Plan, which I looked at online, and I know we have people who go to that meeting, but I don't know that we get a regular report. But it was interesting to see that, according to their plan, we're not even going to think about widening the bypass until something like 2013. Fiscal year 2013.
It's all about the amount of money we have there.
Hmm? It's about the amount of
money that we have. And, you know, we get about $3 million every year.
Split with Augusta.
We split with North Augusta, and Burnettown gets a little bit.
And even Silver Bluff, I think they talked about fiscal year 11 for the construction,
That will start proceeding. It's a lot of work, as you know, engineering kind of work and what have you. It's sad. I wish we had more money there. You know the efforts that we're going through to try to get more money for highway work. Of course, one cent sales tax. And we presented, is council saying the plans that have been put together on highway work that totals up to over $100 million?
Yes, there's a white booklet, I got shortly after I came.
Ronnie Young and I went up and we talked to the CIPBO board, the State Infrastructure
Bank.
Yep.
And they were very receptive to us. Roger did an excellent job of presenting the case. And they gave us 5 minutes, and we ended up at least 15 minutes, maybe even 20, asking questions. And they voted at the end of that to go to the next step with us. And most people knew what we were doing, didn't think we were going to get to that next step. But the next step is that they'll come down and look at the roads that we had. Now, what that's based on primarily, or a great deal, is the 1 cent sales tax, the next 1 cent sales tax being passed. And the county and the city have agreed, memorandum of understanding, to put X amount of money together to have a match for what the state, hopefully, could give us. And they like the fact that we had a match, some $58 million, I guess, match.
It's about that.
And I said that because that's just another thing that we're stepping out in. We're trying to be visionary on that and taking some steps to get more money, but a lot of that depends on the 1 cent sales tax also passing next.
That will have to be voted on next November?
Yes.
And when will the process of putting together that list begin?
We're developing the list right now. Staff is putting together their wish list. I've met with the county in North Augusta to determine how much money we feel we'll get countywide and how much we as a city will get. So I'm looking December, January time frame that we'll then present you with a list of projects. We've also started soliciting outside folks like the YMCA has already come to us, and the Land Conservancy has come to us, and those that have come to us in the past. So you'll get a listing with a total amount of dollars and how much we're going to get in, and then we'll have to decide, well, we're getting more requests than the money available, therefore we're going to have to eliminate some projects or give less money to certain projects. And so we're hoping that sometime late winter, early spring, we could then submit a list of projects that the City Council would like to see that would go to the group that will put the referendum together.
Okay.
Last time, I think it was March or April that you approved the list in 2004.
Yeah, I've never been through the process. That's why I asked.
Of course, this is initiated by the county. I mean, they agree that they're going to initiate it. But if they didn't initiate it, then we couldn't initiate it on our
own. Oh, I didn't realize that.
It's a countywide referendum.
I know it's countywide, yeah.
Not a very good thing.
Yeah. And then I wanted to speak a little bit about Mr. Watkins.
Did that answer your question?
Yes, it
arts,
did.
Though?
Yeah.
The widening for Silver Bluff, actually, although they're talking about construction in 2013, will probably start preliminary design and reviews in 2010, 2011. It's hard to imagine, but it takes 2 to 3 years from the time you start working on a project to maybe construction. I mean, Silver Bluff, we're having a hearing on
24th.
The 24th. You all realize it's been 2 years since the last hearing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
2 years. And then assuming at this hearing that they get the remarks they want to hear, we're still 2 years away before the construction will, because then they're going to get right away and design and more approvals. And so, I mean, we've been talking about Silver Bluff for probably since around year 2000. So it's going to be over a 10-year process to get that one moving forward.
And it won't help even if we get the money, because it still takes X amount of time to engineer. So, okay. Mr. Watkins appeared before the Board of Zoning Appeals in June, and he asked for a variance to put a shed, replace a shed. He had a small building that was there. It was within 5 feet, and it was there when he bought it. And the end result was that it was disapproved. And he wrote a letter. He was a little frustrated with the process. And I've since spoken to him. I've spoken to Ed. I mean, I told him very clearly we have no authority to overrule the design. I mean, the Board of Zoning Appeals, they make their own decision. But it seemed as though that there could have been consideration, I think. And again, I'm sorry if I'm Monday morning quarterbacking. I don't normally do that. But it seems as though there could have been consideration on the fact that the five-foot setback was there when he bought the property and was grandfathered. But I guess because he wanted a new building, it had to be the 10 feet. And it's just a little frustration on my part. I if there was a time to grant approval, I think that probably would have been one of the times. And the very next item in that same minutes, somebody wanted a variance from 10 foot, and they gave it to him. It's frustrating for the inconsistency. But I just wanted to discuss it. I know I spoke to you about it, Mayor. And
yeah.
I know you were frustrated initially. I don't know, Don, I think you were as well. I don't know what we can do except whether we can have to ask the Design Review Board to consider the grandfathering aspect of it or not. Or whether, I guess, if he came back with a different size building, then maybe it could be reconsidered. But
it could be reconsidered. Plus, he could go ahead and remove the side walls. He could remove the roof and just go back to the skin of the building, the truss and the framework, and redo the whole building all over again if he wanted to. But I take it he wants a brand new building from the foundation on up.
Is it large? And he wants it larger?
Larger.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what he said he wanted, but I'm not sure he understands all of these implications. So,
BZA came to City Council I want to say about 3 or 4 years ago, and asked about accessory buildings, because that's one of the areas that they get in a lot of requests, and there's a lot of gnawing going on with that one subject, and council looked at it, and we did make a number of changes to it because they wanted to have more guidance. You know, what about setbacks? What about larger buildings? Should they, you know, because some people want to have accessory buildings actually be larger than the existing structure.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so BZA said, please look at the whole thing, and we made a number of changes. If council recalls, but there, you know, we, one of the specific things we looked at is, should they be closer than 10 feet? You know, what about 5 feet? What about 3 feet? And it was, we'd like, you know, the answer from council was, we'd like to go ahead and get it to be 10 feet or further from the side yards and the backyard area. And so that's why they kind of, but you know, there is certain inconsistency. I think this particular gentleman did not realize he could speak up a little bit more and address them more. And, but again, if he comes back with a change, if he wants a smaller building, some other changes to it, he certainly could do so. But he also has the ability that if he wants to go ahead and, you know, just put on a different outside in roofing and other things, he could do that on the existing building.
Yeah.
And we could do that internally, and Ed Evans could approve that tomorrow. So he does have some flexibility in dealing with that. Otherwise, though, if he doesn't change the size of his building or the distance from the side yard, he will have to wait a year before he come on back for June of next year.
Okay.
Well, one of the issues, you know, there was that house on Hain where they wanted to build on sort of where an existing building had been, but build it two stories or something instead of one story. And the neighbor said, you know, that's really a very different thing to have a two-story wall 5 feet from your backyard and a one-story wall. And so I think that's, Dick, that's part of where that came from. As I remember,
yeah,
anyway.
The BZA has a very tough role. But sometimes they get too...
Well, they do, because the next one, they approved the 5 foot.
Right. Yeah. What was the next case, Dick? Do you recall?
It was on Wheeler, Wheeler Drive.
Was it similar? Very similar?
In the Wheeler Drive, I think they approved it because it was going to save a tree. As I recall, going through it very quickly.
So there was a reason.
There was a reason. Sure, I don't mean to say they were. No, they have a tough job.
Yeah.
And I think we should be grateful for the good job that they do.
Absolutely.
This one, I mean, if there was a time to give someone a break, I thought that would have been.
The next person comes up wants a break too.
I know.
So you open that door.
I know. The last item was the ILS. I just heard over the weekend that I guess that we're not going to get that in again before Masters.
And I would say that's probably correct. Of course, it got approved by FAA a year and a half ago. They then gave it to a consultant out of some place up in the Northeast, I think in a state called Massachusetts.
Well, it went to Boston and then back to Atlanta, as I understand.
And I asked Larry to check on this several weeks ago, and they have not come up with the final design yet.
Jeez.
And it's, you know, we've asked the Atlantic office if Atlanta could get them to move a little bit faster, and we just don't see very much movement unless you have a further update on it.
But there is an upside of this.
There is.
Yes.
What is it?
It's closer to completion, implementation than it's ever been. We took a trip in 96, I recall.
We've been working on this a long time.
Yeah.
We're really heard that.
We flew to Washington about 10 years ago and pleaded with them.
Well, it's going to be a big difference when we get, you know, when we get it to the airport.
It's going to
help the city a great deal.
We're going to get it, though.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
Before we adjourn, if Dick, was that your last item?
Yes, it was. Yep.
In your other things on your table, the Arts Commission, I have a recommendation that we didn't acknowledge Joanne Saunders will be on the next agenda, I think, for the appointment.
Yeah. Leslie, can I ask a question on that one? Is not Kristen Brown from the Aiken Art Center on the an ex officio member of that board just by definition? And I mean, has it been the policy of employees of various art centers?
Joanne is representing the Center for African American History, Arts, and Culture. She's a part-time employee.
That's what I'm saying. I thought that the employees of city arts endeavors were pretty much automatically ex officio members of this commission. Am I wrong there?
Not voting members.
Yeah, well, I don't mind if they vote or not, but I don't know. I was just thinking of Kristen Brown and whoever's from the Etheridge Center.
We had ex officio from the Etheridge Center. We had Kristen Brown. We had a representative from the Playhouse, but we've also had members that were on the boards.
Oh, really? Okay.
From those various organizations.
Okay.
If I recall correctly. Mary Ellen Krippner was the chairman, in fact, for a while, and she was on the board for the Playhouse.
But they weren't employees, is what I'm saying. They were not.
I can't think of a
employees.
Member that we had on the Arts Commission that's been an employee.
I just thought that was
representing one of those areas. I'd have to check the ordinance that we, or the bylaws, to see if.
That's my only question. Is I thought when we set up this Arts Commission that we were understanding that we need these people
for input.
Yes, all the time. You know, not just when they happen to get appointed by somebody. And that would be my only reservation.
Can we check into that?
I'm going to write that down and check on it.
Okay.
That's right. Keisha is a member.
Well, why don't we?
Keisha Lloyd, who's with
me. Why don't we adjourn, and then we can talk as much as we
but she's
want
not
to.
An employer of a city arts. Do you see what I'm saying?
No. Dick Smith wants to go home. Can't take it.
Federer later in the afternoon.